This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. What a beautiful spring day. I mean, it couldn't get much more gorgeous than it is. 64 degrees on the Murfreesboro Square, 64 degrees on this 5th of April. And we're going to be talking lawns and gardens this morning. Mitchell Moat is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Mitchell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
This is the time of year people just love to be outside doing things.
They do. But in listening to this Wabash Shop program, I think the fellow that's looking for the outboard for the John boat's got the right idea. I think this will be excellent fishing weather also.
Just going out and sitting in the middle of Stones River sounds good to me.
I think they're kids,
as you drive across the bridge, you can look down there and the kids are down there waiting, having fun, and I'm thinking, I want to be there.
We need to be there, yeah.
And here we are trying to work, and and they have the idea.
And yeah, I guess that's why they make antacids and ulcer medication and so on.
So after the show, let's just go down to the Stones River and play.
I'm with you.
Catch some crawdads or something.
I'll skip some rocks, you know.
Yeah, yeah, do some fun things. Maybe we run into somebody with the John boat who'd let us play with that for a while.
Might let us borrow their outboard motor.
893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, 893-1450. And let's go to the phones. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? Hello there.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you doing this morning, Bart?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was calling about the man that has the Guinness for tennis, man. I missed that number, and you wouldn't by any chance have it close by, right?
I don't have it, but I think Mitchell has it. And Mitchell, if you would hand me that Guinea number, let me see if I can find where he put that. 848-3590. Is that right, Mitchell?
848-3590. That's what I had written down.
Right down for the Guinea man.
And y'all have a good day. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 848-3590. Those are guinea eggs.
Guinea eggs. That's right. Yeah. So you have to potential guineas.
That's right. Have to hatch them first.
You do.
Good morning. You're on with the Guinea man, Mitchell Moat.
Yes. I know that he is a agricultural extension agent, and I want to know, can he tell me what you call these things? They look like a gigantic mosquito. My granddaddy used to call them galley nippers. Well, now, can you control them? They come out of the ground like a termite, but they're not termites. These are humongous mosquito looking like things. They don't sting you, they don't bite you, they don't put their proboscis in you or anything like that. Is there anything that you can get and put as a spreader on the ground in order to take care of those things? And I will hang up and listen for your response.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's something I wanted to talk about this morning. The critter he has described, it goes, it's called a crane fly, and they may have been called and probably are called a variety of other names depending on where a person is located, but a crane fly is the universally accepted name across the United States. He's exactly right. They do not bite. As a matter of fact, the adults do not eat at all. Basically, they're kind of like, in some respects, sort of like the cicadas were when they emerge, they just pretty much have one thing on their mind, and that's mating. So they'll have some more of these things to come out next year. But they are apt to be found in areas where you have high organic matter content. So they will lay eggs and hatch out of wood mulch areas, out of lawn areas where you have a good stand of grass and so on, a good lot of organic matter down there in the upper portion of that ground. They some folks do confuse them with the look of a mosquito, but thank goodness they're not mosquitoes, because if mosquitoes were that large, we'd probably all be carried away. They certainly do come out in large numbers. They are a pest because they're an aggravation. Simply, they tend to, like if you're mowing the lawn, they will fly up out of the grass and will get in your face and in your hair and so on. And I have even had reported to me that if you happen to be sitting outside in a nice easy chair and you do happen to doze off and your mouth opens up, that they will have been known to fly into your mouth some. So you want to be careful about that. As far as controls, as the season progresses, they're going to, their numbers are going to go away. They're going to decline as the weather heats up and their season ends. Now, if you've got spots where you're just really bothered by them, you can go into the shrubbery and in the mulch areas and so on and treat them with a pyrethrin insecticide. Those can do a good job if you want to knock some of the populations down fairly quickly in areas where you're being particularly bothered by them. But pyrethrins work very well, and there are a lot of different brands, so I'm not going to try to get into the brand names. Just look for pyrethrin-based insecticides. I would suggest that in the evenings you minimize the number of outdoor lights if you're going to be outside, because they're attracted to lights outdoors as well. But they are called a crane fly. They're harmless from the standpoint of they don't eat anything, and they don't bite people or other animals. They're strictly they feed on organic matter, and that's where they hatch from. They'll hatch out of the ground or out of mulch layers and so on. But a lot of folks will mistake them for mosquitoes simply because they have that long, thin body and long legs and wings and so on. But actually, they're not as bad this year as they were about 3 or 4 years ago. Generally, the more moisture you have, the more incidences you're going to see of these crane flies. But that's what they are, crane flies, and they're not going to hurt us, but they will aggravate us.
Very good. And these are not the things that as you're out mowing the yard, they start flying up out of the grass.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
Yeah,
okay.
That's them. Mm-hmm.
Those
and
are
they're
our pests.
Out during the day. They're out during night. If you have lights at night, they'll be attracted to the lights. And they get in your hair, your face. And sure enough, a lady said the other day that she was dozing off outside and she was awakened by the thing flying in her mouth. She had her mouth open while she was asleep.
Well, they just care about you.
Well, they're just curious, I guess. Curious.
893-1450 is our phone number if you have a question this morning or a comment. Maybe you've had some really good luck on growing things. People are already, they started planting the cool season gardens.
Oh, cool season stuff is probably being consumed, I would think. You know,
what are those cool season?
Snap peas and their greens out, you know, those cruciferous kind of vegetables. Mm-hmm. A lot of the greens and lettuces and spinach and green onions and things like that. I bet they're enjoying some fresh snap peas, English peas and so on. But, gosh, today's the fifth day of
April. Yeah, time flies.
And we, we normally think about starting to get safe to plant tomatoes after the 15th of April. That's 10 more days.
I'm ready.
We can certainly have a frost any time. You know, we have had some hard freezes this time of the year. But there's certainly nothing in the forecast for the next 5 or 6, 7 days. We're certainly moving into that time when we could be planting most anything. And actually, in some spots, the ground's a little dry. A lot of these hit-or-miss showers have been missed, for some places. And the ground could use a little moisture. The upper part is starting to dry out a little bit.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. We don't have a very good connection, but I just had a comment on the little pain flies you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think they may be an inconvenience to folks, but I really think a natural predator like a purple martin or some regular songbirds would be a better alternative than poison.
Oh, in most cases, I don't think there's any need to even worry
whenever
about
those things, you know, consume something that's consume poison, you know, it affects the young songbirds and what have you. You know, y'all might take that in consideration whenever you're trying to find something to exterminate them. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Very good point, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't personally know anyone that's ever tried to control them. But I'm sure there are folks that will. But they're just a nuisance.
Part of the cycle of life?
They are. I mean, they're just part of it. You know, they're kind of like moles. A lot of folks get upset over moles. Well, and they're part of it, too. The moles eat a lot of grubs and so on, and they keep them from becoming beetles. Well, these things, I don't know what good they are, but they don't hurt anything. So I don't worry too much about it.
If you have a problem with beetles, you have a problem with your neighbor who's trying to get rid of the moles.
Well, maybe you just don't have enough mole activity to help consume.
Can you buy some moles? I'd like to buy a mole,
please. I'm sure
people
would sell you some if they could.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Is that me this time?
That is you.
Got a quick question. If I wanted to spray some Weed and Be Gone on some clover and dandelions,
yes,
how long would I have to wait before I put me some Triple 13 down? I'll hang up and listen.
No, you don't have to wait any time, and you can put your Triple 13 down and turn right around and spray. That one does not influence the other.
Okay, so it doesn't have to wait at all.
No, there's no waiting time involved in that. But if you want to wait, you want to wait till the wind's not blowing before you spray your Weed Be Gone on those weeds in the lawn, because you want it to go on the weeds and nowhere else. So wait till the wind's not blowing. And you want to have... a fair amount of dry weather after you've applied the Weed Be Gone, so that the weeds have time to, you know, the foliage has time to dry and for it to start taking the herbicide in before rain comes along and washes it off.
Okay, so do it on a non-windy day.
Yeah, do it
day.
On a mild day. Y'all need to do all your spraying on mild days, whether it's an insecticide or a, you know, fungicide or whatever, so it's not going to be drifted, or it's not going to have as much chance of drifting away. But as far as the fertilizer and the timing of the fertilization and the weed killer, I mean, they can be done the same day. That part doesn't matter.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. Maybe not. Let's try this one then. You're on WGNS. Hi.
Yes.
Good morning.
I was calling about carpenter bees. I'm afraid I'm going to go outside one day and my dick's going to be on the ground.
No. Don't do that.
Well, that would be bad news, wouldn't it? Carpenter bees, they can't help it. You know, they do what they're made to do, and that is they make their nests in wood, preferably finished wood, outdoor structures like your deck and porches and sheds and so on, things like that. They look like a bumblebee somewhat, but they're not a bumblebee. And, you know, if you have those things that are making nests in those wood structures, one way to approach those is to go in there in the evening as you start getting towards dusk when they're not going to be very active, and get yourself a piece of coat hanger, good stiff wire, and run that back as far into those holes. What they do is they drill a hole. They're very neat with the way they drill a hole. It's just a very precision-like hole they drill in there. But they excavate those holes, and then they kind of turn once they go in, and either right or left, up or down, and build a gallery or a tunnel back in there. And they lay eggs, and they'll lay an egg, and they'll kind of seal it off, and they'll lay another egg and seal it off. And the point of using the wire is to run back in there and kind of, you know, destroy those eggs. Mm-hmm. and render them dead. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to hatch out and make some more bees. And then after you've done that, you could take a little insecticidal dust, like maybe, some Seva dust, and just puff it in there and seal the hole up. Get yourself a wooden dowel rod. You can buy the wooden dowel rods at the hardware stores, home supply stores, roughly the same diameter, and just cut it to length, however deep it needs to be, and drive it in the hole, and maybe seal it over with some liquid nails or plastic wood, something like that, to seal it over with. And that's a good way to deal with those that you have. Now, as far as keeping them off of wood. You know, painted wood is tends to be, they don't tend to be attracted to painted wood or come to painted wood as much as they do unpainted wood. So if the paint's starting to fade out on it, you might think about painting. You know, some folks report some benefit, some success of using an insecticide ahead of time on the wood, an exterior insecticide that maybe contains permethrin or something like that to treat the wood to help discourage them from coming in and drilling their holes and making their nests in the first place. But those places where you do have the nest, you need to deal with them in that manner.
Okay, did that help you out?
It did, thanks.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Have a good day.
Yes, you too.
Bye-bye. And speaking of insects, if you're having problems with insects ruining your trees and shrubs, you need a product that will prevent insect damage on tall trees, but those are the ones you really can't reach with your sprayer. Bonide has the answer. The annual Tree and Shrub Insect Control kills tree and shrub damaging insects from the inside out. One easy application, and I do mean easy application, kills most insects, including the leaf miners and borers. An early spring application of this prevents the insects from all of their infestations for up to a full year. No spraying, no ladders, no mess. Just mix as directed using a bucket or a watering can and pour it at the base of the tree or shrub. The systemic insecticide is absorbed through the roots and will travel throughout the entire plant. It will not wash off. It's available in quart and gallon-sized concentrates. Bonide's annual Tree and Shrub Insect Control. You can get it right now while we're talking. Just head on over to the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, over at the Co-op. They have it. And also our friends at Martin's Home and Garden. They are on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant. Martin's Home and Garden, both of those locations here in town.
Hey, Bart, I might mention something on that product you're talking about, the Bonide insecticide product. That class of insecticide, it's imidacloprid is what it is, and it's really been a good boon for folks that needed to treat trees with insecticide, because treating a large tree is very difficult, and it makes it so easy to just apply it to the soil. But something that some research has shown is maybe the application of a little fertilizer at the same time you make the application of the insecticide, especially say some that contains nitrogen, will encourage uptake of the insecticide by the roots. So you can apply those at the same time and maybe speed things up just a little bit.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Fine, Bart. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
You're talking about those carpet beetles.
Uh-huh.
What I always do when I find a hole, I take a caulking gun.
Mm-hmm.
With the silicone in it.
Yep.
And I caulk it full of silicone. And the smell of that silicone will help run the other ones off if they're, you know, flying around.
That's a good point.
Yeah, silicone. Yeah, that's anything to seal the hole up. I would suggest that if you were to run your wire back up in there and maybe destroy any eggs first, there's no danger then of any of those hatching and boring out. And but Ma, the use of the caulk, that's a good way to seal the holes also. Absolutely.
Yeah. Last week, Jack was talking about the I can't think of the name of the plant now. It's elderberry.
Elderberries.
When I grew up on a farm out on Sulphur Spring Road, and we raised cotton and corn.
Yes, sir.
And my daddy always, when he was chopping corn and cotton or plowing it, he'd get galded.
Yeah.
He'd take four or five of them leaves and just water them up and stick them in your back pocket, and they'd cure you up.
Huh.
It'd be gone in a day's time.
That would be... Boy, if folks, if that really works, that'd be amazing, because there's nothing much worse than to have that condition and still got half a day's work ahead of you.
We kept four or five plants growing over in the backyard by the fence where we had a water faucet.
Yes, sir.
We could keep them watered. But he always kept four or five plants growing. I just thought I'd call and tell you all about that.
I appreciate it. Thank
y'all
you.
Have a good day.
You
Thank
too.
You. That's the kind of call that really helps you out there.
Yeah.
893-1450 is our number. We'll be right back. If you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next.
Need better fuel economy? Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today. Ford now has four vehicles that get 40 miles to the gallon or more. The Ford Fusion Hybrid, the Ford Electric Focus, the regular Ford Focus, and the Ford Fiesta all get 40 miles per gallon. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro can be found online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. No accidents or stalled vehicles in Murfreesboro at this time. Bit of congestion still on Broad Street at Warrior, Broad at Memorial. Also seeing some congestion still on Old Fort Parkway. This is near the Chaffin exit before you get to I-24 at 96. Also Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane with lots of congestion still through that area. Get a $49 introductory massage to Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. And what about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Mostly cloudy skies across the area. Showers and thunderstorms are likely to develop. 72 degrees for your high temperature with a light north wind. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Right now, 64.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Catch the Truman Show with Truman Jones, weekdays at 2 on WGNS AM and FM, talking about the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
It just won't go away. So she sits.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? Hello there.
I'm just fine. How about yourself?
Doing great, thank you.
I was wanting to ask him a question about tomatoes.
Alrighty.
I'd like to raise some tomatoes in indoors. And I was wondering if there's any special lights or how do you pollinate them or whatever.
Okay.
All well, right.
Hold on just a second. Let's find out.
Let me ask you now. When you say indoors, are you talking about in your house?
I think you just hung up.
Okay.
Indoors?
Yeah. The reason I ask that is, tomatoes are going to require an awful lot of light. A lot of light intensity, and I think that's one of the things that you run into is you can do it with fluorescent lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are grow lights or plants that are not plants, but there are lights that are designed to use with growing plants, and I think the color spectrum is a little bit different. Maybe it more closely mimics what sunlight is, but you can do it with fluorescent light. But probably the grow light would be a better choice, but I don't know how expensive.
Is that like a fluorescent bulb? Or?
It is a fluorescent bulb, yeah. But it's, however they make them, I don't know how the things are made, but it emits a different, slightly different, I don't know that we can tell any difference by looking at it, but apparently the plant can detect some difference in it. And they need a lot of light. Those tomatoes are warm season plants, and so we plant those in the late April, May, June time period, where we have probably a greater number of hours of daylight of sunlight than we do of darkness. So that's something to keep in mind. It takes a lot of space to grow a tomato, especially if you grow a traditional kind of tomato. They can get very, very tall. I would suggest if you're going to try to grow them indoors, you go with patio type tomato or a a smaller version, a dwarf type. I don't know if they're truly called dwarfs, but, you know, like patio tomatoes are designed, they're developed because they don't get as large, and you know, folks can grow them in containers on the patio.
Do the tomatoes get as big?
They're proportional. For instance, patio tomatoes will make a slicing size tomato. I mean, not as big as a great big beefsteak tomato, but still, it's, you know, you can tell you've got a tomato there. But they will require, as far as pollination, you know, tomatoes are, turn a fan on them every once in a while when they start blooming, allow them to wind blow back and forth a little bit. They're kind of self-pollinators in that respect. They don't rely necessarily on insects to do that. So that can happen if you'll just cause that movement, air movement across them when they start to bloom. But
If you had a window that was getting direct sunlight, would that help?
Sure, it's going to help. Yeah, it's going to help.
So if you had that
plus the grow light,
might be able to pull it off.
I could. I would. It takes a lot of space. I don't know how many you can grow inside. You know, depends on how much space you have, obviously.
How many tomatoes do you need?
I mean, yeah, exactly. How many do you need? So
one plant, how many?
I mean, one plant can make one plant can make a lot of tomatoes.
And the whole thing is, you know, the enjoyment of growing it.
Sure. But that would be the thing, is you want to have maximum amount of light, both natural as well as
A feeling his question is going to be the type of question we're going to start hearing more of as time goes on, because people are moving into zero property line homes.
Yeah, small spaces.
Apartment houses, things of that sort, and they still
when they start doing that, they ought to, especially if they're going to construct the home themselves, they take that into account and allow for construction features that will allow that extra light. You know, have the conservatory, if you will, or just a place where you can have more sunlight come in.
Yeah.
And you'll see, you know, there are windows that can be installed that have three sides of glass on them.
Have
so
a
you can
pop out, bump out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the maximized amount of sunlight coming in.
And if you, you know, built it yourself, if you were building your house, you're not talking, it depends on how big of a garden you want.
Sure.
You could get away with a closet size. If you put that closet in the right place and bumped it out of the house where you could get the roof line, maybe glass on it,
sure.
You'd have a little greenhouse.
Yeah,
is what
have,
you'd
have some open panels, a skylight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would guess you'd want it to be the temperature of a greenhouse too, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want it to be air conditioned.
Well,
or would that matter?
You know, if you wanted to use it for more than one season, sure. You'd want to condition the air in there. You'd want to be able to heat and cool it. So that then if you could use it for cool season stuff, you know, in the fall and the spring, and warm season things in the summer.
Maybe there's somebody listening who has done that, who has built their home in a confined area.
Oh, I'll bet someone has.
Yeah, call us and let us know, kind of success you had. 893-1450. I have a friend who has gotten into greenhouse gardening in
small
a big
greenhouses
one.
Can be pretty popular.
He's built a big one,
and you know, even folks can build hot beds or hot frames. They're kind of like very small greenhouses. You can use old windows from remodeling jobs. You know, for the tops, they're just made kind of season extenders. You can start plants early in the year, and when it's cool, and you can keep the box closed, but as the day heats up, you can open it up to allow more air and allow the heat to dissipate. It's kind of like a little greenhouse.
So it's basically a raised bed garden with some sides
kind
on it?
Kind of like that, yeah.
And a window
it's
on the top.
It's a raised bed with a glass roof. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of times they'll be built on an angle, you know, to take advantage of the sunlight on the southern exposures.
Now, how extended can they make that season for where they can grow, you know, different plants?
Well, what it allows you to do, the really extension is it'll let you get those warm season things in the ground earlier, because cool season things you can put in the ground pretty early anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But my father used to do it. He would put tomatoes out in March. And he was moving glass all day. Or no, he would move glass every day in most days, because when the sun, you get a lot of heat buildup in there. And so he would, you know, sometimes it would be propped open, sometimes it would be moved off the top of the box entirely. But, I mean, you got to figure that's a month, month and a half ahead of time. Obviously, you've got to have enough size to allow the plant to grow if you start one that early. So, I mean, you can add 30, 40 days of grow time using
great.
Something like that. So, that's a significant difference.
Yeah. Our
and there are a lot of things. Row covers you can use. They make row covers to go over rows to help protect tender plants if you get them out a little bit early and if there's a danger of freezes and so on. There's things out there that folks can use.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. I'd like to hear from the guy who called us several weeks ago and planted his tomato plants early. The weather was nice, and it has continued to be nice.
Now, did he put them outside, or he just started the
seeds? I have a feeling he put them. Do you remember that call?
I don't remember the call.
Maybe it was when...
It may have been someone else here.
Maybe Anthony was
called. Yeah, could have been. I don't remember.
But the guy had put them out. And we have not heard back from him, but you know, we haven't had any bad stretches
not any bad
of weather.
Weather. No. So I know his forecast looks like we may have some 40s mm-hmm. over the next couple, two or three evenings, but that's, you know, that's certainly not bad.
No. 893-1450, and with this warmer weather that we've been having, did some of the rest of you put out some plants earlier? And
I know that in my garden, I normally plant some crimson clover in the fall of the year as a green manure crop to plow in. And usually I don't see it bloom because I plow it in before it blooms, but it's a little bit ahead of schedule. I've got some prettiest red blooms out there right now. It's really a pretty plant, the deep, deep dark red color on that crimson clover.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine. As far as planting something early, I did put my basil in already. But my question is, since we seem to be running 6 weeks ahead of time, temperature-wise, what about hummingbird feeders?
What about that? Can you surely you can put those out, but are they coming out? I don't think
right.
we've seen any.
I personally haven't seen any hummingbirds. I don't know that there's any point of putting them out before they're there, because... You know, then something else will use it, or it'll just waste. But they may show up early. I don't know.
Is there a certain time? Usually, I get my best group in June. I may get some migrators earlier. But is there a certain time of year right here for Murfreesboro area that they come?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Someone else is listening would probably answer that better than I can.
Because I used to get them earlier before there was more houses built behind me because
sure.
I had farm fields.
Right.
And now my prime time is June.
I think, you know, I hear anecdotal, just like you're describing, you used to get them earlier, but the house population is greater around you now, so you don't see them as early as you once did. I think that folks, depending on where they are, tend to see them, you know, their major numbers at various times. But it seems like I visited a gentleman the other day a couple of weeks ago, and he was making preparations to put his feeders out. I don't know if he has had any hummingbirds come to his feeders yet or not. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone say, but that if someone is listening, maybe they could offer us a little better insight into that.
That would be appreciated. This was a major discussion at church last week.
Well, I tell you, I'm not very good on theological issues anyway. So.
Well, you take care.
All right, I sure
Bye-bye.
Will. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. 893-1450. Is there somebody who is really up on hummingbirds?
Some folks
I'm sure there is.
I mean, we definitely have some experts.
And they are beautiful birds. Fascinating birds. Fascinating to watch.
Oh, they're fun to watch. One thing I want to mention, Bart, about the crane flies we talked about earlier, and mm-hmm. I'd said that, you know, the adults don't eat anything. They don't. They don't feed. They don't cause any damage at all. Now, the young, though, the they go through a worm stage, a larva stage, you know, like a grub worm, except they kind of look more like a cut worm because they are in the ground. Now, if populations, those things are high enough, because they do feed on root material and whatnot, they can cause some damage to turf grass and shrubbery and so on if they're in large enough numbers. But I have never seen an instance where any damage was associated to crane fly larva.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? I don't think we got that one. 893-1450. You have to be a little patient.
Just got too quick trying to set the hook. That one got away.
893-1450. We're talking about lawns and gardens. We're talking about hummingbirds. We're talking about those of you who may have planted some things for your garden early and curious how it's going for you. 893-1450. Still have not had anyone see hummingbirds yet this season. In fact, talked to Jack the other day, and Jack has not seen hummingbirds
not seen
either.
Well, he's into the hummingbirds.
And the Canesville area must be, there's something over there that attracts him. I guess it's Jack's feeders.
Jack's there, yeah. He has a reputation.
Yeah, everybody buzzing around. Go by.
Well, you know, the truck drivers all pass along where the good place to eat are. I guess hummingbirds do,
they
too.
They do, too, yeah. It's over at Jack's place.
Yeah.
893-1450 is our phone number. We will be back and take your call in just a moment.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
We have it here at the co-op. From gardening to gift to animal health products to your pet needs, we have it here at the co-op. Bugs are definitely going to be a problem this season, and we have anything you need as far as your lawn to use in your home and also for those animals.
And for mosquitoes, I understand you have bat boxes.
Bats eat a lot of mosquitoes because mosquitoes are going to be bad this year. This is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come and give us a visit.
They're on Middle Tennessee Boulevard just off South Church.
WeatherEye.
Mostly cloudy skies across the area. Showers and thunderstorms are likely to develop. 72 degrees for your high temperature with a light north wind. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 64.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Locally owned, locally operated, and responding to your local opinions. Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. It's a Thursday, and we're talking lawns and gardens this morning, and hummingbirds. I was looking at the hummingbird. There is a hummingbird website, and did you realize that the hummingbird has no sense of smell. So I guess when you're putting out red, brightly colored flowers to attract them, it's the color that attracts them.
The color, I think, does have a lot to
do with it. Doesn't matter about the smell.
And butterflies, they're attracted to bright colors.
Yeah. And, you know, butterfly gardens. Wonder if that would also attract hummingbirds.
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think they share that attraction to the bright colors.
There is a neat butterfly garden at the aquarium in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't gone to see that, you need to do that. That's a neat trip, a good day trip. Something else I found about hummingbirds, and probably, I guess they do this in spring, I'm just a wild guess. During their courtship, they dive on each other at speeds up to 60 miles per hour.
Pretty good pilot.
If they missed and slammed into each other, that would be the end of a short-lived loss.
I bet it would be a little puffball hit out in the air.
That'd be 60 miles an hour each. That's
120 mile an hour impact.
Boom, yeah, where'd they go?
That might make a racket.
That's love.
I bet that'd leave a mark, wouldn't it?
It would. 893. Have any of you seen this? I mean, I wonder, do they do this here? I mean, if they come here in the summer, I would think the courtship was over.
Who knows? I don't know if they raise or not, Bart. Again, that's boy, I better hush talking about things I'm not all that familiar with.
I hope somebody out there has the rest of the story.
I'm sure someone has it.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Oh, yeah. What's the lifespan of a hummingbird?
The lifespan of a hummingbird. What about that, Mitchell?
Oh, I'm going to defer to your website, Bart. You got to pull up that phone because I don't know.
I haven't yet. We'll try to find out. Thank you for calling. 893-1450 is our phone number. And I don't see that right off the bat. I'm sure there's somebody listening who might know that. Maybe I should Google that particular question.
If it tells you that they don't have a sense of smell, surely they would tell you how long their average lifespan is.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning, Bart.
Hey, there's Mr. Hummingbird.
There you go. I bet he can tell us about it right now.
I was dying, doctor, just recently, Dr. McCabe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's a philosopher. He's an authority on almost everything. And he got to talk to me about hummingbirds. Their little hearts beat so fast, he seems to think that their lifespan is very short. He didn't say how many months or years. But, you know, when they leave here, they fly all the way to Mexico.
That's a long
time. But I think some of those hummingbirds come back to the same spot because a couple of years ago I didn't have my feeders up as early as I should have, and I kept the little chains up where I hang them, about 12 of them I hang. They was two hanging on one chain.
Two.
So I believe some of them come back to the same spot.
What time do you normally try to put your feeders out?
Well, I don't normally get them out as early as I did this year. It's been so warm. I thought that might be an incentive for those hummers to come in, but sure. I have not seen a one, and I've got two up now. I think that's enough to get the early start. Some people say they send scouts. I don't know.
Well, that makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised. But, just because it's warm here, I guess maybe that doesn't mean that where they're coming from is running ahead of schedule, so I don't know.
Jack, I just saw something here, Jack. I found that most experts believe that hummingbirds under natural conditions live 3 to 4 years, but with artificial feeding, they could live as long as 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. And when I say artificial, I guess, what are they, in a cage or something?
Well, no, I think what we do is artificial feeding because, I mean, we're supplying them with, you know, a manufactured feed.
So we're helping them live longer.
It sounds like it.
Jack,
I'll defer to what you're reading there, Bart. I don't know, but it
Jack,
sounds
you
like
need
it.
To get an award.
Let me tell you something. You were talking about them courting.
Uh-huh. 60
now,
miles
it's an hour. Easy to see when they're courting. The female was sitting in a bush, and the male will go up and down. Not a complete circle, but he'll come down and go back up, and he'll come just like a swing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll come down and go back up. And you know they're courting when you see one doing that. And it's interesting to watch these little guys, but they are cruel to one another. You'll have one, I call him the king, he'll watch your feeder. I'll have up 11 to 12 feeders, and one will watch each feeder. And if some other bird comes to that, boy, it's just like an attack bird. He's just, you can hear him making contact sometimes.
So he physically...
It's interesting. It helps you get through the day. You can go get out, just look around you. Look at your garden and see how it's growing. And look at the trees turning green. And look at your hummingbird feeders, hoping the hummers will come. But all this is the work of God, Bart. And it's so interesting. We need to get out and appreciate this and look at it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, take advantage of it. Enjoy it while you can.
That's right. You think about the people in New York and Detroit and all those places.
Yes.
All they see is blacktop out there with
I mean, they don't ever see a patch of green, you know. That's I can't imagine that.
You're our connection with the country, too. I mean, even if you live in the city, we have to listen to you tell us what you're seeing. And speaking of that, have you had any good turkey sightings, deer sightings, anything of that this spring?
Well, like someone was saying a while ago, people are building houses all around. I don't see the deer like I did. I'll see them early in the morning if I can get up and go meet with some people, an accountability group I meet with. But that's just about daylight, and I'll see four or five in the field. But otherwise, I used to see a bird come through early in the morning, and then late in the afternoon, just before dark, they would come back through. But they came because some gentleman built a big house up there, a big log house up on the side of a hill, and that took away their habitat. It's it's tough for them right now. I see turkeys. There's more turkeys over there by Oakland High School than anywhere, I believe. You see them all through there.
They're scattered around all over the place.
Yeah. Listen, guys, have a good day.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your program.
I try to go to your sponsors. I think that they're really good people. Just like the greenhouse ministry, I went down there yesterday to talk to Cliff Sharp. They're really, really good people. They serve the common interest.
They really feed.
And they give food out to a lot of people. They also have beds and many, many things down there.
It's a nice place. Wonderful service.
It's just like the journey home. My wife and I go over and cook and feed on Mondays. We get there about 9 and stay to about 2 or 3 till we get it cleaned up after we feed. We'll feed about 100 to 120. And some of those people are really hurting, Bart. You have to mark them off on the roster when they come in. And they tell you their name or they can sign it. And they tell you where they're living. And a lot of these people are homeless. They're sleeping in cars or they have a place called Tent City. Things are not good out there for a lot of people, and I think we need to help them.
And people like you and Scott Foster and those folks at Journey Home and all around, Cliff Sharp up at Greenhouse, they're doing a lot to help these people sort of get back connected again.
That's right. When we read Matthew 25 and he talks about separating the goats from the sheep, you didn't feed me when I was hungry. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. You didn't give me water when I was thirsty, and you didn't visit me in prison. Now, we need to think about this, guys. It's in red print. That means it comes straight from Jesus. So, listen, I could preach all day, but you guys have a good program. Thank you very much, and I thank your sponsors.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. 893, well, I'm about to give out the phone number, and I looked at the clock, and it's our time's gone.
Oh, where'd he go?
We've had too much fun here.
Good show this morning.
Maybe next week we'll have some hummingbirds in town.
Could be.
If you're listening to the radio, because I'm thinking WGNS is probably number one for hummingbirds.
The hummingbird station.
They love it, yeah. Hey, you guys, big welcome
sign. Time to check in.
Yeah, welcome sign.
Check in.
Out. You're welcome in Murfreesboro. Thank you for joining us, Mitchell.
Thank you, Bart. It's always a pleasure.
Mitchell Moat from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a group that does help people in the dark.